Hey SEOs and content marketers, say goodbye to crazy spreadsheet mashups and experience unprecedented connectivity between your SEO planning and reporting data. Introducing Audience Key, technology for keyword mapping, content brief automation, and rank tracking that form an SEO strategy system providing unparalleled feedback loops between planning, reporting, and optimization activities. Put your time and energy into strategy, not data upkeep. Visit audiencekey.com and apply for a free trial today. Hey everyone, welcome to Webcology here on WMR.fm. It's the 5th of February, 2026. This is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media and Christine Chackinger from Sites Without Walls.
Hey everybody.
And it's been another timeless week in paradise. I'm having a hard time, Christine. Like, time is out of sync again. It almost feels like we're back in pandemic times with I don't know. It's hard to it's I'm finding increasingly hard to take all the accoutrements of regular life seriously. And I'm still having that problem. I imagine a number of others are having a similar thing.
As one of my favorite TikTok therapist, real therapist, not like, no joke, says in his videos recently that you're having a perfectly normal response to what is absolutely not normal.
Well, that's
like
good.
Your systems are on edge and in flight or flight mode, and your nerves are overwrought. And so if you're feeling like that, you should feel that confident that you are absolutely reacting the way anybody should be reacting.
I've always felt confident in being as normal as the next person. I wouldn't be taking any advice from a TikTok
psychiatrist
because I wouldn't be touching TikTok with a 15-foot pole these days. It's now owned by Larry Ellison. And apparently TikTok is now taking more personal liberties with your private information than the People's Republic ever dreamed of.
Yes, and we did that on the show last week. We talked all about it. So if people want to know more about what TikTok is doing, we did like 10 minutes on it last week.
We did. I really, really, really want to emphasize that the new media, TikTok, X, all the social media that we're using, Facebook, which I use significantly, they're all run by people who have pledged allegiance to the Trump regime. And in many ways, they're all being used to politicize every message that you're receiving.
This is very true. But on TikTok, there was a security expert who told you what you needed to lock down to limit the ability to access. So I
nevertheless,
did all that.
You're still on a platform that is recommending straight up Nazi and anti-Semitic material
to you. It did stop doing that. But I'm just saying there are reasons I'm on it for good. And
I'm not talking, Christine, but who says I'm talking about you? The reasons you're on it are for good? Okay, good. But I would advise people stay the hell away from TikTok, from Meta, from all the major social media platforms. They are pushing fascism on you on purpose.
They do. The good thing, there is one good thing about TikTok, and it reverted that trend. So I don't see any of that stuff now. I don't know if it's on the platform, but I'm not seeing it.
It's absolutely all over the platform.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
Okay. Google has, and I say this in advance of reporting a Google core update. And this is an interesting one, A, because they've named it, and B, because it's targeting specifically Google Discover.
Yeah, and I wish I hadn't called it a core update. The engineer shouldn't name things because it's not a core update like organic search has core updates. It's an update to the core of how Discover functions. Which isn't the same thing as a core update in Google organic, which is meant to like lean out, thin out the crowd from sites that they don't want to see in the search results.
Well, I have, this is again about how Google algorithmically picks videos or information to share with individual users through Google Discovery. Which is based on user behavior, and user interest, not based on user direct user query. Interesting. Remember last week we reported that Google was digging into Gmail and well anything that you have and signed up for in the Googleverse to help complete a profile on you to help deliver stuff like Google Discover. I bet you this has something to do with that.
Yeah, I also wonder. I've got to find out because I have personalization completely turned off. What it does, if anything, if you have personalization turned off. I will say what they're trying to do is show users more locally relevant content from websites based in their country or area, reduce sensational content and clickbait and discover, show more in-depth, original, and timely content from websites with expertise in given area based on our system's understanding of a site's content. So basically, it's the functions of geolocation. Clickbait's always been a problem in organic, and then making sure that it's relevant to your intent of your query and being unique, and that's important in organic as well. So, and this is your organic content that's being thrown through Discover, generally speaking. They are changing to those new focal points. Also, neural matching is real prevalent, I think, in all this stuff, which is. So neural matching originally was a paper from Google where they thought that matching the intent of the query to the page content, the text of the query to the page content, and nothing else would be better for search results. But it's not, because then you don't have quality signals that rank the documents, right? But it looks like more and more in this, in the things like AI mode and Discover and all this, they're tending to use more neural matching than anything else. There still is ranking signals that sort order documents and help with producing quality, but when you get to the final stage, it looks like they're doing a lot more with the intent and the query text versus the content on the page. Geolocated, of course.
Just to be clear, Google Query Discover is a queryless experience. You don't enter.
Oh yeah. I'm sorry. I was talking about with regular organic, and then it
Okay,
shows
so
the Discover. I was not clear. Thank you.
this core update is targeting Discover dis content that will be surfaced in Discovery. My worry about this is. Well, watch the quality of content that comes your way and the tone of the content. Google was among the technoligarchs who declared fealty to Trump a year ago on his inauguration, and I would watch very, very carefully what Google is going to be giving people on their mobile devices. Just again. We know that YouTube, like 5 minutes into YouTube, and you're going down a Nazi rabbit hole. So I'm very, very worried that Google search through Discover will also go that direction.
There's something very interesting this week that I heard from Scott Galloway, who I don't always agree with, but do you know who he is?
I do.
Okay. So he was talking about the impact of subscription services on a company. So if you don't subscribe to ChatGPT, you take your $20 a month away. It seems very small, right? Like it's $20. What does it matter? It actually amounts to $10,000 of the market cap. So if you want to make a statement at any time about these things happening, just remove your subscriptions for a little while and they'll offer you a cheaper one to come back anyway.
Okay, don't know that Google's going to do that if you unsubscribe from Google services.
Well, not one person. It would have to be a lot of people, but I'm just saying I didn't realize it could have that much impact. Like $20, I didn't know amounted to $10,000.
that could well be in the way that ChatGPT goes about like getting like I don't know investment monies because. It's got to be about them getting investment monies in relation to their market cap because ChatGPT is like burning money.
Oh yeah, it's like lighting, like back in the days when people would light money on fire. That's pretty much what it is.
In
But
fact,
there are.
there's going to be a fun story coming up in a few minutes about Google, who was the underdog like last year, completely outpacing the rest, including eating ChatGPT's lunch.
Yeah, and there is some talk in the AI world that OpenAI will be bankrupt by 2027. That's not necessarily going to happen, but. That is the The thing
on the
is that,
trajectory they're on.
yeah, on the trajectory they're on, if they don't make significant changes or significant breakthroughs, that they could be out of money in 2 years or a year and a half.
Okay. If you have a problem with Google business profiles and you have a appeal into them, review appeals are no longer being delayed. Now, a while ago, Google said there was a backlog and it was going to take a while to get to them. Apparently, that backlog has been beaten. If you have a review appeal that you need to file, do it now because apparently it's wide open.
Yeah, it's the first week we don't have a bug in Google My Business Story or
Do we have
Google.
any Google bug at all?
Yeah, we have one. We have one Google bug that's
Oh,
coming up.
okay.
But yeah, so this is the first one in a long time where GMB was not on the list of bugs to fix. That would be a long time in coming. That's good.
Nope. Google AI Overviews does have a bug, and apparently that bug is removing links and citations.
Yeah. Oh, poor Google. Actually, poor sites that aren't getting any clicks. Though I've talked a lot about this week with different people. People like still remember the amount of clicks and conversions you're going to get from like AIOs and all that sort of stuff is very, very low. So don't make it your main focus. Just make sure it works.
Okay, so Google, this is a neat way to try to thump account hijacking. It's called multi-party approval.
Yes,
But
this is good.
so okay, to cut to the chase, Google introduced multi-party approval. It's a way to trick or to stop hijackers because instead of taking over one profile, now you got to take over two profiles before you get access to Google ad account.
So years ago, before any of this kind of stuff, in Facebook, I was on somebody's account that I know because I was helping them with things on their, on their Facebook ads. And one night in the middle of the night, I got a $20,000 purchase notice. And I was like, what? I don't think he's running ads at 3 in the morning. And I don't think he's running $20,000 worth. So I contacted him immediately. And I didn't have full admin control, but they didn't know I was in there as an admin. So I was able to see it and we were able to shut them down before they could do any harm. So it's kind of the same concept, just in this case. Both admins have to approve it, and both admins, you'd have to hack both accounts to get to it. So I think it'd probably be pretty effective because, as we know from the story last week, I think it was, that the ad issues with ad accounts getting hacked was just becoming a massive problem. So.
So, if you are planning to work on your Google Ad account, if you're planning to, let's say, do something that would be considered a high risk action, adding, removing users or changing user roles, line it up with your co-administrator and be prepared to both have to give approvals before the process is actually enacted.
And if you're in a company, make sure that there's somebody that's going to be around all the time that can do it. That's
Oh,
going to
and
be the second
also,
admin. Yeah.
just yeah, make sure you actually have a second admin. That's actually a good point.
Someone that'll be around, not like, the CMO who's going to be traveling or in meetings all the time. You need someone who can access it immediately with you to approve.
So, they say if you look into the abyss, you become the abyss. And I don't think that any living human epitomizes that statement more than Elon Musk himself.
Right.
It's been a really, really craptastic week for
Yeah.
the world's least favorite ketamine addict.
And let's also say he's in the Epstein files quite a bit too now. We don't know what.
Well, apparently a lot of it is pleading to be allowed to do things that'll get him even more mention in such files. But the cool kids didn't want to play with them. I mean, it's terrible. It's a horrible thing. But if you can't join them, beat them. That's what Musk always says. And if he couldn't join the little kiddie porn, the massive kiddie porn ring that seems to be the elites running the world. He could create a AI capable of pumping out tons and tons and tons of child sexual material. And that's what he happened to have done with XAI. And because XAI is available over via Grok over X, France raided X offices in France this week, investigating child abuse images, sexual deepfakes, anti-Semitic posts, and Holocaust denialism, both from Grok and from X users.
Yeah, and for those that don't know, in the United States, we have the First Amendment, so people, are able to talk that way without any sort of, facing any legal action. But in other countries, that is not the same when it comes, especially comes to the Holocaust.
Yeah, well,
So,
some countries who actually experienced
yeah, the
Nazi
Holocaust.
rule are really strict about what you say about Nazis, given they know what it's like to live under Nazi rule.
Exactly. So, and also, the child imagery falls under something called CSAM, as you know, Jim. It's CSAM,
Child sexual
abuse materials, I think.
abuse material, yes.
Yeah, and you're going to see a lot of that because of the Epstein files that have been released this week in the United States. I think you can get to them outside the United States too. And that comes up a lot. So if you hear CSAM, that's always referring to that kind of material. And that's what they're one of the big things. So the original probe was not about CSAM material and the undressing function of Grok, but it was about data leaks. Jim, you know about that part.
Well, yeah, Grok. In the EU has incredibly strict personal privacy laws. This is the reason why we went through that whole saga about cookies, but over the last 5 years, which actually ended up nowhere because you just can't get enough
Yeah.
cookies. But the reason we did was because of European privacy laws. Grok eats information much like the American government was telling people TikTok did for the Chinese, for the People's Republic. Well, Grok is apparently doing the same thing. I did not know exactly for who, probably for Elon Musk and the Department of Justice and whomever. Letet. Say Letet. Elon Musk being the state himself, of course.
Oh, gotcha, of course. So,
So France doesn't want its citizens' data being hoovered up by a billionaire who is aligned to the world's most powerful fascist government, the American government. And so they raided X's office because that's a really bad, really, really, really bad thing, for a sovereign state to
yeah.
allow a billionaire to steal all its people's information.
And they expanded the probe based on the undressing action in Grok, especially with children, and then the
Might.
other thing. So now it's one big criminal investigation. This is a criminal investigation. Europol is involved, Interpol's involved, the French authorities are involved, the European Union is
So
involved.
SpaceX just well, laterally purchased XAI
Yeah,
from
so
Grok.
anytime he gets in trouble, he just merges his companies, one buys the
Okay.
other. Yeah. So now SpaceX is the biggest owner of CSAM in the world right now. I mean, I'm sure that stuff has all been taken offline for him because he faces a lot of legal ramifications, but that's the
Okay.
title. So.
Another, okay, so hopefully something comes of France going after X and Elon Musk for a variety of crimes against persons, children, and well, the personal information of the people of France.
Yeah.
Do you remember when all this started back in like, oh, I don't know, 20, when did this happen? 2022? Was it that recently that Musk
Yeah, no,
actually
doesn't it feel
bought
like it was so
Twitter?
much so long ago? Yeah, I was actually online on Twitter in the middle of the night when he did it and announced that he had acquired enough of the shares, which is illegal because he had to inform the owners of Twitter that he had acquired that many shares. Once you get over, I think it's 5%. I think he had 15%, although I'd have to go back and check my numbers. 9%, sorry, 9% that night. So it's just funny because he's tweeting about it all night while I'm sitting there watching it because I'm working late at night. I'm watching Twitter. And so he has SEC violations that are pretty serious because he did that. And he was expecting the leader in charge to help him, but so far he has not.
In the dying days of the Biden administration, in January 2025, the Security Exchange Commission sued Elon Musk, because saying his 11-day delay in revealing his Twitter stake, 5% stake in Twitter, allowed him to buy more than 500 million shares at an artificially low price. That's how he multiplied his shares and actually ended up taking it over. He figured that Trump would come to his rescue. Trump, hasn't intervened, but so he loses a bid in U.S. District Court in Washington to get the lawsuit tossed, and then the judge has to come along and say, "Hey, you know, the president isn't intervening here, so this suit is going forward." So we'll see what happens with that suit.
He was given by the Biden administration 48 hours to settle the SEC lawsuit, or face fraud charges, and then he just said, "Go, you know, come at me, bro," and so now they are. So, and he most likely can't win without someone intervening, so because he did violate the law 100%.
Okay. Amazon has reported a really high volume of childhood sexual material, sexual assault material in its AI training data, but won't say where it came from. But
Well,
it did confirm, or I guess, well, it seconded a story that came up. The National Center of Missing and Exploited Children said it received more than a million reports of AI-related child sexual abuse materials in 2025. And again, the vast majority of that reported by Amazon from its training data.
yeah, and it's a and so companies have to report, I mean, are supposed to. I don't know that there's a penalty if they don't, but they're supposed to report CCM materials to this, you know, National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. And they're just saying this is such a high number of, you know, items to come across in their training that they just kind of would like to know where it came from, and Amazon's not disclosing. So it's
And
unusually
well,
high.
and the thing that's most annoying here is because Amazon isn't disclosing, no authorities can go forward with charges. The reports are
Yeah.
inactionable. There's nothing that can be done for it.
Exactly, because there's nobody to charge because they don't know who did it.
Now,
So.
I think it's very possible that Amazon itself doesn't know where it got these materials from, given it's hoovered the entire web to get there.
Yeah, and people forget that when it comes to the AI models, the large language models, they generally don't know where they got anything from. Now, like later, that they're doing research things. They know the citations that they can pull to write something from, but on the training itself, they generally don't have a record of where things came from. That's when the first lawsuits were filed against OpenAI for copyright infringement. They didn't want to reveal their training sets because then people might be able to find it where it is, but they didn't record, like, I got this from this page. So, you know, because it's trained as to training tokens, and one word can be several tokens.
So that confirms to us that there's a great deal of material of child sexual material out there, and as X AI and Grok are proving, given a somewhat depraved or deprived, yeah, depraved is the right word, user base, the ability to create such material, some of them are just depraved enough to do it.
And just to remind folks that it is the creation or possession of CCM material. So if someone creates it with AI, some people think, oh, well, it's not real because it's AI. Yeah, well, first of all, it's based on real. But if you create it, even if it's not a real person, it is still the same charge. It is still the same offense legally.
Okay, there you go.
There you go.
Okay, Moltbot. There is a, or was, it's now been shut down, but a Reddit-like discussion forums set up by and for AI agents exploded on the web this week. And before we go into a lot of the story, there's, as with all things AI, there's questions on, there's a lot of questions on how this happened, how valid the experiences were. Once it got going, it took on a life of its own.
Well, and let's just start. This was Claude Bot for people who know. Not Claude, CLUDE, like Claude for Anthropic, but Claw D Bot. So it then rebranded or
From
became
OpenClaw.
Molt. Yeah, which became Molt Bot. So, and it's supposed to be, it's not a chat room or a chat bot. It's an open source self-hosted AI assistant. Not hosted in the cloud, but hosted on your computer. But we'll discover in a minute why that was a very, very big problem with this. But it kept it looked like it took a life of its own. If you're on LinkedIn during this time, Jim, and I know you don't like LinkedIn, so you probably weren't there. But there are a lot of people in tech discussing, like, is it sentient? Is it real? Is this intelligence? Is it this? And it's like, no, it's none of that. Also, because the AI the APIs for the AI were able to be handled by anybody, there's like no security on them. A lot of humans were involved in this situation. So
Yeah, I
yeah.
thought there was a lot of human intervention
Yeah.
there.
A lot of human intervention. So there's no miraculous, like, oh, it's intelligent now and it's thinking and it created a social network and apparently it created a porn site too. Somebody
Well,
had
of course
pictures
it
of
did.
it.
I mean, seriously,
Yeah.
of course it
It
did.
was called molt porn. So but the thing was, it wasn't any of those things. It's just LLMs with AI agents that reflect what they see, and a lot of humans got involved to like troll it basically. But the big problem out of it was there's a lot of security issues because it produced its own agents, or agents produce, I think the agents created agents too. Like, people had agents, but I think agents created agents. And of course, as we know, if we've talked about plenty on the show, indirect prompts and invisible prompt injection, all those things make these vulnerable to begin with. But apparently there's just massive numbers of malware produced. Password stealing, malware, other kinds of malware that were produced in this network. So if you use this network and you had it on your computer, because these are self-hosted, you probably want to check your stuff, change your passwords, and go ahead and maybe delete those agents, because they are a big security risk for the people. There's over 219 code agents committed to GitHub with security issues, like serious security issues, like malware and stuff. So these are not ready for prime time, and they're definitely not ready to just play by themselves, as we can tell. You'd never think we
It's
learn a lesson, Jim. Like when Microsoft let their bot loose for 48 hours, they had to shut it down because it just became like this evil thing.
the lesson is the real world is populated by all sorts of people. Some of those
Yeah.
people are really, 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 really awful, and those awful people tend to be willing to do awful things that have impact on others. Good people, and there's infinitely more of those people, they don't do things that have impact on others, and so you don't really hear about them very often because they're just going around driving their cars back and forth, not hitting stuff. No,
Oh,
you don't even
yeah.
get like an insurance claim on them because they don't hit stuff. But there's some people who just bang into people everywhere they go. They have to bang into something, and I think that's the lesson. It tells us that the internet is populated by lots and lots and lots and lots of people, but the ones who will really take action on the internet tend to be pretty crappy.
Oh, and here, so I'm sorry, there's a little higher. A separate report from Koi Security counted 341 malicious skills, the skills of the agents, on Quahob after analysts scanned the entire repository of 2,857 skills, attributing them to one campaign. Also, the bots sometimes just created it themselves. And we know that vibe coding produces a lot more security errors. So it might not even be malicious. It can just be the
Well,
code is, code it created.
so a bunch of bots got together and decided to hold a party behind the barn.
Pretty much, but a lot of humans were involved in that party, and it just looked like it was bots. Yeah,
Yeah.
so yeah.
Okay. Google. Okay, so whoever writes this history is going to have a lot of fun telling this story. Google started this version of the LLM revolution, except they didn't fire the shot heard around the world. That was OpenAI back in November 2023. But Google's work for a decade previously set the stage for the revolution that we're in. But Google was trying to be chill and mellow and responsible in the way that it introduced this wild set of new technologies that are being injected into, pretty much everything. And when OpenAI sprang upon the scene like 2.5 years ago, it took Google by surprise, it seemed, and Google was set on its back foot for a while. That's changed.
It has. And let's remind people that the paper that OpenAI used to create OpenAI and ChatGPT was a Google research paper. And I'm a geek enough for it to be one of my favorite research papers. I never remember the exact title, but it's making debutantes out of dilettantes or dilettantes out of debutantes. And they were doing the responsible thing. We talked about this when this first happened, right? Sam Altman just went like, I'm the kid on the floor. I need some money. I need some investment. I'm just going to throw it all out there. And Google and Bing were like, whoa, wait, dude, we're going to do this slow and easy. And that's not what happened. But now Google has, I was going to let you
Well,
jump in there.
Google has easily surpassed OpenAI in power, in revenues, in resources, in the ability to scale up and throw new resources to at the same old problem. But Alphabet Incorporated has been infinitely more nimble, and it's probably because they had a much stronger foundation to begin with. And the tide's turned. They're now eating OpenAI's lunch. When it comes to, to new users and to user loyalty, and to people just feeling really good about Gemini, where they're feeling marginally good about OpenAI. It's turned around. Google's not the third rate company in this fight any longer.
And the deal breaker for or for OpenAI is going to be, if they can't fix it, is that Google has found a way to make a chip for compute power at like the rate of a normal chip, not the rate and expense of an NVIDIA chip. So for compute power is the big thing that's holding OpenAI back right now, as we've reported in other stories. They can't manufacture enough compute power to like make the advances they want to make. Google can now use compute power at about half the price of what OpenAI has to spend, and they have the infrastructure and the scientists and everything else behind it. So I don't foresee this changing in the near future unless there's just a big something we don't know is coming in this industry. It's possible.
Now,
But
many of
I
you might notice this most prominently with the cute cartoon images you're having ChatGPT create of you, noticing that it seems to leave vast sections of your life out of whatever it creates to represent you and your life. I think, honestly, I think that's because Google's eating their lunch. That's what I think.
The problem with Gemini, though, is as for those who don't know, there's a trend right now online to go to an AI image creator and say, create a caricature of me with everything you know about me, and it makes these cute little cartoons. But Gemini tried to do that of me, and it said, I can't do this kind of image creation. I'm like, but it's me.
Yeah, but
Whether.
Google's saying, you know what? We are not doing deep fakes. It's not going to happen. We're not even doing cartoons. We're not even doing cute squirrels. Like, don't even ask.
I know. I did say, don't ask. Don't bother. Come back with something else.
Yeah. Which, if you really, I mean, the line, this is going to sound kind of kooky, but the line between cute squirrels and deep fake nudes is very thin. Really freaking thin.
Not even gonna go down that rabbit hole.
I'm telling you, give AI
That
users an
squirrel.
AI that creates images of cute squirrels, and within 5 minutes they'll break it and have it doing deep fakes of cute girls. Guarantee it.
Probably.
Okay, OpenAI has to get its crap together, or get its stuff together really quickly, because it just announced a new program called Frontier, an AI agent platform for at enterprise scale, where apps like Salesforce and Workday will be deploying to their absurdly vast legions of users. You were talking about processing power a few minutes ago, Christine.
Yeah, exactly. It is interesting though, because we know Salesforce just made a big change in how it's approaching AI in Salesforce. They didn't get the juice for the squeeze, right? The amount of money invested. So it is interesting that they're one of the first ones in this program. But OpenAI must do this because they're down 20% in adoption on business enterprise level users.
Salesforce, Marc Benioff failed to understand what a how AI was going to be used. He tried to use it to replace people. AI
Right.
doesn't replace people. AI
No.
scales individuals up. AI is like power armor. It doesn't replace the person inside the power armor. It just makes the person infinitely more powerful. If you're into Fallout, you'll get that reference. But the person inside the armor is still the person controlling the armor. The same with AI. An AI agent, which is what Frontier's all about. Well, that is a bot that does stuff for you, whether it does stuff well at scale or whatever. That's another argument
Yeah,
altogether.
we
But
know it can't do complexity. Yeah.
the intent of the agent is to upscale the output of the individual, the worker. Salesforce wanted to just replace them with AI, and that was
Yeah.
the massive mistake. You can't replace people with AI. You can use AI to make your people infinitely stronger.
Yeah, the three things that they cannot fix in AI because it's part of the math and the foundation is hallucinations, agents, and security. And then also complexity. They cannot handle complex work. It's all part of the math. So they can't replace a human, but like you said, they can help with some human tasks. So this is supposed to be a semantic layer for the enterprise that all AI coworkers can reference to operate and communicate effectively. So human employees can work on the same platform, but that human and AI have access to all the same data and tools with similar access controls and security provisions. And we'll see. So far, they haven't been very successful. You're getting enterprise adoption, as I said, it was down 20% this year. But if anyone's going to try to make it work, it will be Salesforce. So.
Well, again, and Salesforce learned the hard way, as you were saying. It's not, it is what you do with AI and the way that you do it. Speaking of trying to drive up adoption, ChatGPT is, well, I guess text is just too much for people. So now they're getting visual knowledge panels, throwing top stories, into its responses. And again, it's going to create, instead of giving straight up answers and text-based answers, it's going to create more visual answers and structure information, much like a knowledge panel would be.
Look like a search engine. I just don't. I don't. Honestly, I don't get it because Google already does this. Bing already does this. So all they're doing is making themselves look more and more like Bing and Google, but they're erroneous far, far more often. So.
Do you remember the scene in the grocery store in A Handmaid's Tale where there's no printing anywhere? There's just symbols. Only symbols.
No, I didn't watch that deep.
Okay, well,
I don't
there's
think I saw that.
one of the things that happened in the society depicted in The Handmaid's Tale is people basically stop reading. Women are not allowed to read. And
Okay.
so you can't communicate with them using letters, you have to communicate with them using symbols. We're kind of having a breakdown in reading and comprehension skills in our society. It does sort of coincide with the pandemic and closing schools and all that sort of stuff, but it also is driven by the use of technology and phones as well. And I think that ChatGPT is just evolving to that, you know, like.
Did you see the same story I did? It sounds like you might have, where the first generation ever to be less smart than the generation before, than their parents, is Gen Z.
Jeez,
And they,
I always felt it was like me, you know, but okay, cool.
no, they said it's because, oh, sorry, my computer's talking. It's usually yours. They say it's because of just the things you said, pandemic, schooling, but also a lot to do with, the phone and using the GPTs and things of that nature. So it just was an interesting article. I don't know how they measure less smart, but as an
Well.
overall, of course, not all people are less. That would be silly.
I'm quite worried about problem solving in the future.
Yeah,
Absolutely. We'll
we know it affects the cognitive components of your brain for doing. They had radiologists who helped worked with the GPT, and it was more accurate the first part of the first test. A year later, the GPT was worse, but also the radiologists were worse. They had relied so much on the GPT that they could no longer do the diagnostics themselves. So it's kind of a combined issue because we know that the GPTs get worse the more the models have come out. So anyway, so it's just an interesting side component. So that's why I don't use them much. I really like to have a brain when I'm older. So.
Okay, a mobile app, Chat and Ask AI. It's got about 50 million users. You can get it at Google Play or the Apple App Store. And apparently, according to an independent security researcher, hundreds of millions of private chatbot conversations were exposed because the folks at Chat and Ask AI, they messed up using a open a Firebase misconfiguration, a Google Firebase misconfiguration. Apparently people do this. It's a well-known weakness, and they did this with 50 million users.
A
So,
lot
yeah.
of that these days, yeah,
So
unfortunately.
folks, if you're
So,
using the Chat and Ask AI app, we know, well, we don't because I haven't looked, but we could find out what you were saying.
not only what you're saying, but the full chat history, the timestamps, custom name users gave the chatbot, how users configured them, and which models were selected is all part of a leak. That's a lot of leak.
Yeah, it's out there.
149 million. Is this associated with the thing? I don't know if this is highlighted. Hold on. Anyway, yeah, I think it's different. Something it said 149 million passwords exposed. I think it is in this one. Yeah, 149 million passwords are exposed in this leak. It's a lot of passwords. Change your
It's a lot of
passwords.
passwords and a lot of security.
Yeah, change your passwords, guys. Also, has something that monitors the dark web for you. My mobile app does that. It'll tell me if I've been seen on the dark web. My password's been seen on the dark web. Like it doesn't know my password, but it knows the username that goes with it. So also, Jim, we skipped something really quick. It's a real quick story, but it's just another social media ban for children under 16. So it was
A proposed
Australia.
ban. It's a
Proposed ban.
proposed,
Sorry.
Spain is a
Yes, it's
proposed ban.
proposed. And it's France last time too, right? Yeah. So France and Spain are proposing them. Australia has already passed one. So there's another proposed ban. I think it's probably a good thing. And actually, I saw an ad today for Instagram Teen. An app made specifically for teens with the security protocols necessary for somebody under the age of 18. I thought that was pretty cool. That wouldn't come about if it didn't have all
I
these laws.
would think it's pretty cool if I trusted
Yeah,
Meta
that's true.
Corporation to keep their users' best interests at heart. But when it comes to
Yeah.
young users, I think Meta wants to trap it, excuse me, trap and addict them young. I
Yeah.
don't think it really cares about their vulnerabilities. In fact, I think it
Well,
continues to want to exploit them to get more eyeballs and sell more ads.
we know that for a fact because they were having romantic and sensual conversations with teenagers that were 13 to 18, and we know that Brazil had to sue them to stop creating childlike bots that could have sexual conversations with adults. So
Well,
we know that they don't, and that was just 6 months ago. So I'm passed
in
through their legal teams.
Spanish Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez announced the proposed ban at on Tuesday, saying social media has become a failed state, a place where laws are ignored and crime is endured, where disinformation is worth more than the truth, and half the users suffer hate speech. A failed state in which algorithms distort the public conversation and our data and image are defiled and sold. Oh, yeah, that makes sense. I am so sick of the detrimental effects the social media are having on our society,
Yeah, I agree.
especially sitting up here in Canada watching it be used to destroy my country. It's
Oh, did hear too. Yeah,
disgusting.
did hear too. All the propaganda and fake information. I posted something under Elizabeth Warren's account yesterday on Twitter, and I am on there for reasons. People don't judge because there are good reasons. I'm on there
I'm sure
testing it.
Elizabeth Warren's on there for good reasons as well, as is everybody
But
who's using Twitter.
all I'm saying is that she said something. I just made a comment. I spent the next 24 hours being swarmed by fake accounts and bots. And that's the thing that I hate about social media, because a lot of people think those are real people. I know they're not real people. So I just spent like 30 minutes of my morning blocking all those fake accounts and bots. There's hundreds of them. Oh, anyway.
That's another way that social media wastes your time. Wow.
Yeah, this doesn't happen often, but this is really bad. She has a lot of bots trained on her account.
So Microsoft is expanding its Microsoft Publisher Content Marketplace, which is what was made to give publishers revenue streams, providing AI systems with various levels of access to content that they paid to access, and apparently, deliver better responses for consumers, given that if they're paying for the content, that's a measure of veracity. In short, Microsoft will pay for using your content in its AI. So it's expanded it. Again, I want a much bigger explanation, because I got this whole Spotify feeling about it, where content creators are going to get paid
Yeah,
like
get a
less than
penny.
pennies.
Yeah. So there's some key points to the Microsoft Publisher Content Marketplace from SE Roundtable, Barry Schwartz. Publisher Content Marketplace is an early stage initiative that creates a transparent economic framework for licensing premium content into AI products. Publishers define licensing and usage terms while AI builders discover and license content for specific grounding scenarios. By the way, I'm just reading the brief part. You gotta have to go to the article to read the rest. And over the past several months, Microsoft has been co-designing PCM with leading US publishers, and they are helping to shape the decisions around licensing, pricing, governance, analytics, and onboarding. And then Microsoft will expand PCM to those who share principles that the AI web should respect quality content for the service it provides the consumer. That sounds like really
Oh,
cool.
hold
And
it, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold it. If you agree with these principles, we'll give you money.
well,
What?
they're talking about working with journalists, creators, and people that believe that AI should be paid for, I believe is what they're saying. I believe. I could be
Again,
wrong.
Microsoft, if we really want to take us seriously, pay for the content.
Yeah,
Like
and pay for real. Yeah.
people
For
used
realsies.
to, and I don't want to sound greedy, honestly, I don't. I do write for a living. I don't want to sound greedy, but people used to be able to make a living doing this. And that got us content that was, well, at least the equivalent of cats playing pianos. Probably better, but at least that equivalent.
Yeah.
Pay for it.
I think we're going to have to start getting a little faster on our stories here, Jim. We
Oh, I'm
still have some tea to
sorry. I
go.
know. I'm
Yeah.
insistent about getting
Yeah.
paid for my work here today.
That's okay. Real quick, Google ad revenue is up 14%. It's the biggest revenue and ad revenue yet. I think it's just because they hide all the ads. Like, really, they're now in the middle of the page. I think people just don't see them. It's what they do
Well,
every time they get a big jump.
remember, Google can't get paid unless people click on those ads.
Yeah, but now instead of the top and the bottom, they're in the middle of the page, like with all the other stuff in the page. And I'm sure people just don't see them. It always makes it
Well,
sound like miraculous. Oh, we got largest spend ever. And I'm like, no, you just put it where people don't know what that's. But anyway, it's for Alphabet, so it's not just on Google search. It increased 18 to 70%, or to 1 and 113 billion. Momentum across business and acceleration growth in business services and Google Cloud. So it wasn't just advertising. The revenue across ads and subscriptions exceeded 60 billion for the full year of 2025. You know, when Google got its first investments, it was because their revenue model could print money forever.
apparently they still can.
Exactly. Yeah, they're definitely not wrong.
Even in the era of AI, search is seeing more usage than ever, with AI driving more searches. YouTube's revenues are killing me, and you said 60 billion from ads and subscriptions. 325 million paid subscriptions across various consumer services.
That is a lot because the
That's
whole
an
club.
That's
Yeah.
in fact the population of the United States.
I was just
If
going to say that.
around
Yeah.
the world, everyone the equivalent of everyone living in the United States is paying for a Google service. Not just free. I mean, there's a lot of people using free Gmail, even more. But 300 people paying for the service.
Yes. Speaking of
Wow.
paying for services, if you're still building Google ads around keywords, you're about to find out they've just changed everything. This isn't search engine land. Basically, even though you're still going to bid on keywords, it is using intent instead of just direct keyword.
Oh, this
So,
is wonderful. From an
yeah, this is,
SEO point of view, organic SEO point of view, I love this.
but this is for ads, not for, they already
Oh
does it anyway.
yeah, well you
Already does an
know.
organic
You
anyways.
know how
So,
Google's Keyword Planner was just for ads too?
yeah. But
Yeah.
I mean, we've been doing this in organic search for a while, but the auction isn't triggered by a keyword anymore. It's triggered by inferred intent. So if you're still structuring campaigns around exact and phrase match, you're planning for a system that no longer exists. The new foundation is intent, not the words people type, but the goals behind them. So the intent-first approach gives you a more durable way to design campaigns and creative, but the keywords aren't dead, even though it sounds like it, but they're just not the blueprint. So they've
Well,
changed the entire mechanics under the hood, and I suggest everyone, because we can't cover all this in this show, I suggest everyone go to search engine land and read Google Ads no longer run on keywords. It runs on intent because there's a lot of good detail in here if you are someone who does PPC.
I was all excited about this because I thought it would be if people understand how it works in the PPC world, it's much easier to explain it to them how it works in the organic world. It's
This
always been
is.
hard to explain that Google's taking a much wider view on any individual keyword. It's not about that word. It's about what that word might mean, what people
Although,
might mean when they're trying to find that word. This makes it easier to explain, except inferred intent. Like, oh God,
yeah, no,
that just
that's
blew it right
yeah.
away.
Yeah, and the thing is, this word, it's already in search as neural matching, which was 2018. And neural matching is the final sort order in Google search. So it's where they match use intent and query to the text on the page once the ranking signals have been applied and the first sort order is given. So, but yeah, it makes it easier, I think, to understand. But it's not new for search. It is new for ads, though, and it's new as of now. So you probably want to look into it.
I am making a prediction though. This is a Webcology, you heard it here first prediction. We will soon be selling II, inferred intent.
Oh yeah, there's a
That's
whole.
the thing. Well, we won't be selling keywords, but we'll be talking, and we'll be talking very seriously with our clients about the II.
Well, because if you look at how neural language processing works along with machine learning parsers, the inferred intent is a layer in there. So it is actually how those parsers work.
But the fun part is, if you actually listen to yourself talk to your client, you'll have to suppress laughter because you're going to sound ludicrous talking about the IIs. I guarantee we're going to be
So
using that term.
moving on, Jim. We gotta really get through this stuff. We've already been an hour. So, and you and I both have things we have to get to today. Google file limits have been like there's new set of Google file limits are better explained in Google.
So
Sorry,
you
I'm
won't be
back in my
left hanging
article.
with your email, with your Gmail when you try to attach like a bunch of files to Gmail and then like you get half the emails half sent and then it just like peters out. Now they're going to tell us you can't do it.
No, not that, but
No.
Google bots and how much they crawl of a file type or a page type. So
Oh, I see. Yes.
Google bot will only crawl 15 megabytes. So if your page is 20 megabytes, it's not ingesting the whole thing. 64 megabytes for PDF and 2 megabytes for other file types. This is in Search Engine Roundtable. But they also have some other rate limits based on type of bot. So it's not just those three main ones, but there's also subbots. And so you want to make sure that you read that article and that your assets, resources, and HTML files are not larger than what Google can ingest in one time, because then they just won't ingest it all. So that's how that works. It's as low as 2 megabytes, by the way, for an HTML page.
And by the way, a 2 meg page is pretty big. Like
Pretty
that's
common nowadays, unfortunately. I see a lot of sites when I do recoveries and site auditing that are 10 and 20 megs. And it's almost always
how do you
images.
get that big? Is it like
Images.
videos and like mass images that they never optimized?
I took my image straight out of my camera and put it on my website, not realizing that it is now 6,000 pixels wide
It's
and 2
2026.
megabyte. I know, I'm telling you, I'm finding websites with 15 and 20 megabyte images
Okay.
regularly, not once in a while, regularly. So,
Okay.
and talking about things that Google does, Gary East said that there
This
are
was a
two.
this was a actually, you know what? This was a really important one. This is Google's
It
top
is.
crawling challenges and the things that screws up Googlebot when trying to get through your content or trying to
Yep.
figure out what you got on your page or on
This
your
from
site.
Gary East. Facet and navigation was 50. He said, put the challenges by percentage. It was 50% of the challenge for them in crawling. Like I had a site that Google created a billion pages on because it
Well,
was in
yes.
React, and they were able to crawl through all the facets of the navigation and create a page for every facet on the site, color, shape, size, everything.
Yeah,
So we had a lot to
say you
attend.
have a shirt store and your shirt store has like red, green, blue shirts, a medium, large, and small.
Right. It would
You've
create a
just
page for everyone.
created like 18 different types of page that could easily be created. Now add a whole bunch of other parameters to it, and you can get
Yeah.
billions of pages
And
instantly
we did.
created with their own URLs.
Back when they told you how many pages they crawled on your site, it was a special section they took out a couple of years ago. I looked and it was a billion. And I'm like, that can't be right. It cannot be right. And we only had 2 million SKUs. But because of all the different colors, sizes, because there were shoes, things like that, it was 2 billion. So we took the facet and nav items, turned them into unreadable JavaScript for the bot crawler. The person didn't know the difference, and cut it down to 2 million, just the 2 million main SKUs. So, but because it was React, it was creating pages on the fly. So nobody knew
Yeah.
what was happening because React, unless you measure every page that React creates, like you store the URL that's created, you don't even know the pages exist. So
So
Google's crawling and they're creating pages, but no one knew.
that would be called a bot trap because in a bottomless bot trap because there's no way out for the bot once it gets going. So the bot just leaves.
Well, and no, in this case, it wasn't bottomless because they were SKUs, and but someone put a
No.
calendar.
Your solution makes sense, but
No, I'm saying someone put a calendar widget on a site I was working on, and that was infinite because the calendar years just went forever, and that was a bot trap because it just created pages and pages and pages and pages and pages in the crawl, not in the actual site of the calendar, and it stopped at 2050 when I stopped it. This
so
is a few
again,
years ago.
after a while, the bot's just
Yeah.
gonna stop
Yeah.
recording because
Yeah,
this.
but on the website with SKUs and colors and sizes, it didn't stop. That's the difference because they were actually part of products. They just weren't actually there as pages.
Next big problem for Googlebot is action parameters. When your URL is written to trigger a certain action after it's clicked, like such as
Add
add
to
to cart.
cart, yeah, add to wish list, that kind of thing. Yeah, these parameters double or triple the URL space, product page URL versus the same URL with an add to cart. You want to definitely knock those out with a robots text exclusion. Irrelevant parameters was 10%. UTM tracking parameters. Never put UTM tracking on your website. It messes up analytics that the Google bot generally ignores or finds irrelevant to the content state, but it still does crawl it, so it wastes time on your site. It doesn't hit crawl limits because the billion page site got crawled all the time. It's just that it messes up how it crawls. WordPress plugins and widget was 5%. These may add all sorts of event tracking and other things that are necessary and are challenging to Google to get through because usually they're added by JavaScript. And then just weird stuff. That was the final
Yeah, just
category.
yeah,
Weird
stuff
stuff.
that just happens. Dumbass
Yeah.
stuff.
Like I had a site that had a browser console messaging error the dev left on the site and it was broken and it looped and it would create 90,000 browser console messages and then drop to four when it finished because it was looping, 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 and it was giving the browser the bot a blank page because it timed out, and then when it timed out completely it just dropped down to the four initial errors, so something like that. So weird
If I
things.
were John, I would be really tired of being used as a research study. Okay, so John Mueller answered yet another question on Blue Sky. This time being asked, if anything in the algorithm, spam detection, or other Google policies have changed due to the rise of AI search. To which John replied, "No, things have not. I don't think things have fundamentally changed. Search has a very long history with lots of experience and expertise. There's some change, but nothing because nothing lives in isolation. Search evolves outside of AI and the web's a dynamic place." My
Yeah,
guess that answers it, huh?
John's quote is, I don't think these things fundamentally change. Search has a long history of lots of experience and expertise. Of course, there's some change, and none of these things live in isolation. Search evolves outside AI and web is a dynamic place. And if you just read that, I'm sorry, I missed it.
Yeah, I just read that.
I'm sorry, I thought you were just talking. I didn't realize you just read it until I got halfway through. Oh, I'm having
So
a slow
like,
day.
and I guess that basically is John saying no. The more things change, the more they actually stay the same. But it's kind of a ambiguous answer.
Now the next one with John, he got like kind of spicy. I'm not really sure why he got so spicy over this thing, But people are creating markdown pages for the parsers on the large language models to crawl so that they just give them that information, which makes sense in a way because not Google's crawlers, but like OpenAI's and Anthropic and all that, they have a very small context window when they crawl. So they don't ingest your whole page, they just ingest parts of it. But they do ingest like your schema and your HTML markdown and stuff like that. So some people are just creating pages that have that for those bots. And John did not like that idea. John said, here's what somebody said, creating markdown pages for LLM crawlers, question mark. Here's what John Mueller said about this. Are you sure they even can recognize MD on a website as anything other than a text file? Can they parse and follow the links? What happens to your site's internal linking and header? And then basically it's just some, I don't see it here, but I know I read it somewhere else and it's probably in here that, it's just stupid. And converting pages to markdown is such a stupid, here, a stupid idea. Do you know LLMs can read images? Why not turn your whole site into an image? It's in all caps. So I'm not sure why I got
People,
so spicy on that one because I do see why people are experimenting with it, but he's very definite here.
I think he's tired of being used as the research, as the research file for sometimes wacky, sometimes half sound theories. But every time he opens Blue Sky, if somebody's asking him a question that he has to answer, and he's Gary Mueller, he's John Mueller, so he's like Word of God. He's like the Archangel Michael. And like some of the questions are repetitive. This one is all about, can I overcomplicate things by oversimplifying it? And I could just see, like, John Mueller's an engineer. His brain goes, can I overcomplicate things by oversimplifying it? And it just cracks his brain because it doesn't make sense.
Also, I mean,
Google's
if you want
good at
to,
discovering that understanding stuff.
yeah, this is more for the other, the parsers from the other ones. I would say if you're doing this, it might be good to try an experiment where you block Google and Bing bots, create a second set of pages that are only parser pages with limited content, and see how that goes. Because then Google's not getting it, and the large language models, you can find out if they do or not get it, because you'll have different content
Well,
on those
they'll
pages.
get it, but will they have a clue what they're getting?
That's the point. Yeah. So I'm just saying you could test it by blocking Google and Bing, making duplicates with different content and just use the markdown. That's what people are doing now anyway.
Okay. Google is continuing to ignore The Verge, which is, I guess,
Always
kind of
funny.
appropriate given how much The Verge annoys Google. But Google's doing this in it by changing its news headlines with an You're replacing it with like AI generated headlines, which are of questionable quality sometimes. Doing this like in links leading to Verge stories, and often in Google Discover. I would be really pissed if I was The Verge, because that's not what I published.
Yeah, a lot of the story, by the way, it's paywalled, but if you put in block JavaScript, you can read it. I didn't say that. A lot of it is because the headline does not match the content. And the headlines were only like a few lines only. I really wish Google would stop doing this. I really do. I work on a law site right now, and it would rewrite things that were just wrong. And you have no way to get rid of it. Like, if they're going to do it, at least be able to opt your site out of them doing it.
Well,
Because it's been a
hold on.
problem for a very long time.
You mean people actually work and slave over the words on that website you're working on, and Google comes along and changes the words that people have like worked really hard over?
Yeah,
I'm
and
shocked.
that's been going on for a decade, right? But it's terrible because they don't convert well, they don't read well half the time. And in this case, they're completely wrong about what's in the actual story. They're actually like the opposite in the examples that The Verge gave. So it's Google won't stop replacing our news headlines with their terrible AI is the heading, is the headline. So I agree. I think Google should stop doing that and let you opt in if you want to do it, but let you opt out if you don't. So Google Search is adding AI visibility maybe to Google Search Console. I don't think this is confirmed. Is
Well,
it
okay,
confirmed?
so
Oh, maybe it
no,
is then.
John Mueller is hinting that it might be coming, and it probably is coming, but I think Google's running into the problem of what exactly do you report? Because it's hard to report actual click data coming out of generative AI, given that it might be a little snippet of your ideas or sentences or branding even that gets put into the generative response, and maybe it doesn't have a link with it, but you did get the impression because something from your content came up, and it's measurable back to your content. And so what's Google report? Does Google even know how to report?
Well, here's the thing. Google's putting in ranking signals. Once they put in ranking signals, that makes a difference. So
Oh,
that might
gentle people,
be,
start your engines.
yeah, remember we covered that like last week that they're putting core ranking signals. Now, we don't know if they're putting it in before they pull the citation we see or after, and we see the citations as they're pulled by the ranking signals, but they are putting core ranking signals, which does mean you have a rank order, which means you could report on it.
But what are you reporting? I guess you're reporting visibility.
Yeah, which is what you do. Like when you work for a news publisher that gets a lot of visits, right? They'll often have like 10 million impressions and 50 clicks. And you're like, what the heck? And you go look. And it's because the story is halfway in the top stories. The image is only ha in half. So no one's clicking on it, but it's registering as an impression. Same in AI overviews. If you expand the overview, it registers as an impression, but it doesn't mean anyone's ever going to click on the little bitty link on the right side.
And so, I mean, Google sells to people like us, to people who'd be looking at these stats. You know, Google sells attention, and we measure attention through they came to see me. So yeah, no, I think that's its problem. It doesn't know how to report what it's going to report yet.
Exactly.
Google Search is adding preferred sources to help docs.
Yeah, they're going to explain to us what the preferred sources are and like where they can be found for people like publishers, if I read that correctly, right?
Yeah, that's kind of how I read it, and I think that's a really good thing.
Yeah, I think it will. So and you can tell your users how to set you up as a preferred source. Because we know users can pick you as a preferred source and then you'll show up more often. And if you have a favorite publication that you love and you want to see all the time, it's really good for the user and it's good for the publication.
Now, this does keep us in our little confirmation bias silos, but I'm finding in Google News that I'm finding Google News is pushing my news content to the right. If I peg certain publications that I want to come up specifically, then, maybe at least I'll preserve
Yeah.
neutral to good old lefty news content,
It won't be all of your
such as it
stuff the
is.
preferred, but it will be partial part of it. So you will get some random.
Oh, I get lots of random up here, Canada.
Yeah,
So Google has increased Localpack ad placement.
a lot. Did you see the chart inside that article?
I
It's
have
like
not.
2% to like
22% attract words.
Yeah, 2% now at 22% in a very short time.
Gee, I wonder what Google's
Wonder why their ad revenues went up
intent
so
is on
much.
this. What's
How did
Google's
their,
II?
yeah, how did their ad revenues go up so much? Now we know. 2% to 22% in like months.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Google Ads is testing third-party endorsement content on search
Well,
ads.
I didn't quite understand that. Like the purpose of it.
I guess to double reinforce the ad itself. You have an ad, and then you have another party saying, I absolutely agree with this. I attest to this. We use this company's paint in all of our construction jobs.
Oh, yeah, I guess it does make sense. I guess the way I read it just didn't understand why, but it makes sense.
Or here's another example. I think this is the one that was vaguely used in PC Magazine. I love this resort. I've been to this resort a million times. I would go to this resort again. Really good drinks.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And I think it's, again, that's if
Good
that's
business.
probably a good thing.
Yeah, GMB with ads, basically.
God, the competition is getting so fierce. Could you imagine if they start like using getting a third party endorsement for your advertisement as part of the criteria for ranking your advertisement? Don't worry about it.
And
And you got to pay for it.
you gotta pay for it. Yeah, that would have be fun. What's next?
So In the future, when Google uses the new personal intelligence in AI mode, Google's going to add icons of the various connected Google apps that were used to create the message in personal intelligence. So you might see a Gmail icon, Google Photo icon, or a search or something, wherever Google drew the information or data from in your little wall of the Googleverse. It'll give a little image symbol to show you where that data came from. Yay.
Sorry, I'm about to sneeze. I went on mute.
Okay. So we're almost around the corner here. Google is testing a labeling service for some photos in local hotel listings with a good-to-know AI-generated descriptor. I guess it'll sum up what the photo is and the reviews about the specific hotel or the area of the hotel. So you're going through your Google Local, you're looking at your hotel, you see something that reads good to know. That's, I guess, user generated info on that part of the hotel. For instance, rancid ice machine.
Well, yeah, and that's useful information, I think. Like, but I think it's something like
Especially if
Amazon.
you especially if you're going for the ice.
I always want ice. So that, I mean, ice and machines at hotels, not
Really,
other
I
ice.
had never, I, honest to goodness, I never trust them. I figured that somebody's storing a dead body in them or something.
Oh, no. I mean, we have
That's what
like
I would
ice
do.
machines out front, and then you get your ice in your bucket. The bucket with the plastic liner.
Well, yeah, from the reservoir with the dead body stored in it. Ew.
Ew, gross. This
Okay.
is a fun
So,
story.
yeah, trying to end out the day. How can you get humans and AI working together, problem solving, dealing with aggression, dealing with, all sorts of human emotion? What's a perfect role-playing model where AIs and real humans could work together to, go from point A to point B, maybe solve a mission or go through a labyrinth or something? The Dungeons and Dragons universe.
Yes.
So
This is.
in a study presented at Neural IPS 2025, a conference that happened in December in San Diego, researchers said Dungeons and Dragons has become an optimal test bed. Thanks to the when you're playing D&D, there's a incredible, rigid but voluminous set of rules to the game.
Yeah.
And anyone who plays it, they the rules are easy to look up. There's, Dungeon Master books and players' manuals and all that sort of stuff. So it's a rules-based environment. But inside that environment, really anything can happen. It really depends on the player's creativity. So it's a environment full of random that has st a strict hierarchy of behavior within it.
Yeah, and they don't follow the complete like D&D campaign, but it focuses on the combat encounters and pre-written adventure like Lost Mine of Phandelver. It
Yeah, that would
creates.
be a D&D module that players would play through together with under the instruction of the guide or the dungeon master.
Yeah, so it's basically, they've used chess and Go to train AI in the past. So this sounds like a interesting way to do it because it's more complex of a game with
Well,
less
also
strict. Strict
moreover, you can
rules.
have a AI run characters alongside humans running characters and get them to work
Exactly.
together to get stuff done.
Exactly. Cooperatively. I have a gaming group and we have games that are cooperative games, and that's kind of what they seem to be wanting to train the models to do, which is a good thing. We'll see if it works, but I think it is a very interesting way to train your AI models to work with humans.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And a really good way to how to say this, train your AI model to think like a human when solving problems.
Yeah, because in Dungeons and Dragons, everything is done through words and text. So
Well,
unlike if you're playing some other games where it's strategy that doesn't require conversation.
So, I mean, the next time you and your friends are out at the pub and you turn the corner and you see 100 hobgoblins running towards you with like sharpened sticks, pull out ChatGPT and ask him what to do about the 100 or so hobgoblins. Maybe you'll roll a 20 and get out of it just fine. Maybe you won't, but it's there for you. So
You
they
know,
got
or
that going
as
for you.
with cars last week, I just held up a text sign that says stop and they will stop. People have to hear the story. Last week we had how you hack a car with a large language model. Just hold up a sign with text.
Well,
So yeah.
how you hack a D&D game? Send the I can see this sending Claude or sending Haiku or whomever into or GPT into recursive circles over and over and over again. But I think it's a hilarious idea. And maybe it will either solve or exasperate America's loneliness problem. Who knows?
Yeah. No. No,
Okay, that wasn't really a funny ending, but it's been a
I
weird,
told you it
weird
wasn't that
week.
funny. It
It's
wasn't
been
that
one of
funny.
those weird weeks. It's hard to give funny endings to in times of crisis, and this is absolutely a time of crisis. Friends, your neighbors need you. Watch out for them. Take care of each other. This is remember that people are human beings, and it's hard when you're looking in somebody's eyes and understanding that they're breathing the same air and they need the same food and they drink the same water and all that sort of stuff. It's really hard to think of them as someone deserving of being thrown into one of the many concentration camps that are being established by the by ICE across the United States. So please be really kind to your neighbors and watch out for them. And in the meantime, on behalf of Christine Schackinger, this is Jim Hatcher from Digital Always Media. You have been listening to Webcology on WMR.FM. Yeah, be kind, be patient, rank well, and hopefully we'll talk to you next week.
Bye, everybody.